All right, good morning, Crossroads. Glad to have those of you here at South Campus. Glad to have those of you joining us online, wherever you are. Talked to some folks that last week were in Florida. They were back here, and they walked in. The reason I could tell that they came from Florida was they were looking so unhappy as they came back to Indiana, okay? But as Brent mentioned, we are on a series called Dragons, and I think the first 3 weeks have really spoke to us about some things. The first week about discouragement, and something I think in this season all of us battle to some degree. 2 weeks ago, Brent's message on how to look clearly at the distortion, the dragon of distortion that takes truth and twists it and makes it to where it doesn't, what God says is not what we are hearing. And I thought that was a great message. And last week, Luke did this balancing act of being affirming to us and acknowledging a lot of us have doubts. Those of you online have doubts. Those in this room have doubts. Some of us, even in leadership, some of us have been doing it a long time. Some of you, we have doubts, and yet to powerfully give us some tools on what to do with them and how to address them. So I thought it was great. So this week, we've been talking about this for a couple weeks. I've been asking folks about how to preach a message. They say, "What are you preaching on?" I say, "Preaching on the dragon of division." And I usually get one of two reactions. One is, I just heard it a minute ago when I said division, is they laugh. You're going to talk about division. Wow, lucky you. And then some folks say, good luck. Good luck talking about division in this day. Because they are acknowledging what you know. What you know. We live in a divided world, maybe more so than ever. And I acknowledge that. I'm not going to spend hardly any time convincing us. We know this. It's a given. Division everywhere. But we're going to shine the light today on what exactly the dragon of division is doing and on the role we can play on defeating him. So hang on. Towards the end, I've got an assignment that every one of us, online, in this room, platform, no matter who you are, we can take it, okay? So let's dive right in with the first point of this. The dragon of division, he has a source. He is, and a word I'm going to camp on a little bit, he is sent by our enemy. The dragon of division doesn't just wander into your life, doesn't just wander into the church, doesn't just wander into your heart or into your marriage or into your home. He's sent. He's sent with a purpose. He's sent with a reason. It is not surprising, I believe, as I'll show you in a minute, that our enemy's favorite dragon is the dragon of division. Let me show you why. Take a look at this. He's known as the devil. You've been in church a long time. You've heard that word a lot. If you've been in church, maybe you're just kind of checking this out. Church is newer to you. You've still heard the word devil. Matter of fact, you remember as a little kid when I was in Sunday school, I knew if the teacher asked a question and I didn't know the answer, you would either guess Jesus or the devil, and you had a 50% chance of being right because that usually was it. The devil, but you may not have known this. The Greek word, the original word, the word that's used in the New Testament for devil is the word diabolos, which means the adversary, someone that comes against you. But the root of that word in the verb form is diabolein, which means to split, to divide, to separate. And that's why Peter wrote this verse. Stay alert. Watch out. Because you know why he wrote that? Because sometimes we don't stay alert. Sometimes we just keep going, we don't think about it. Sometimes we're not focused on it. And stay alert. Watch out. Because your great enemy, the devil, and every time you see that, I want you after this message, every time you see that, think, he's not just the devil, he's the divider, he's the splitter, he's the separator. He prowls around like a roaring lion. Peter didn't get the memo, we're doing dragons, not lions. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. I live in the country. This week, we all survived the snowstorm, the blizzard of 2021. We can tell stories about it later. In a few years, we can tell folks that weren't here now, we'll let, and the snowdrifts keep growing, and you know, and it's like, that's what happens when you tell stories about the past. But anyway, around my house and around maybe your house, but in my house out in the country, there are animals that at night and different things come around. Not necessarily, it's not a dangerous place, but there's wildlife and things that make their move around. But when the snow is on, particularly a light, fluffy snow, you see tracks. And this verse says, watch out. Look for tracks. The dragon of division, he may have been outside your door. The dragon of division. Matter of fact, somebody pointed out to me, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking, or one of the versions says seeking. He's looking for a way in to divide, to separate. And it's not a surprise. He didn't just start with COVID. He's been doing this a long time. Check this out. This great dragon, we chose the right metaphor. That's good. Good job, John. By the way, I'm in the book of Revelations, last book of the Bible. It's one, I had a whole bunch of books, topics, words that I was told, if you're going to preach on division, don't mention this because it'll be divisive. Revelation is one of them. I just jumped into it. Got to cross your fingers. This great dragon, the ancient serpent. Remember Brent's message about the serpent, about Adam and Eve, about the first sin? The ancient serpent called the devil. What do we call him? The splitter, the divider, the separator, or Satan. That's his name. The one who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. That verse tells us he's been doing this for a long time. As Brent reminded us a couple of weeks ago, in that first sin, he drove a wedge between the first two people and the God that loved them. He separated them. He even, as you read the account, drove the first wedge in a marital relationship. When God asked Adam, whose fault? Why'd you eat the apple? Why'd you eat the fruit? Adam, as a good husband would, pointed at his wife and said, she gave it to me. First time. First couple needed marriage counseling. There were only two of them on earth. Nobody to give the counseling. So, and they had sons later, two sons, and both those sons were different. And when they were different, as they got older, they became divided. They got divided to the point that even the scripture says that one of them killed the other. And after that, Cain, the one that killed Abel, separated from his parents and was labeled. He was marked. He was declared to be different. And that brings us to another name for this enemy that's less familiar but still applies. He's the accuser. He is the devil. The word for accuser there is categor. And it's where we get this word, to categorize, categories of things, to divide into groups, to label us, to label us. I want to mention the word folder at this point in the message. For those of you under 30 in the room, you think of folder, you think of Google Drive, you think of Google folders and whatever. For those of you over 30, you think of folders that we used to put into pieces of furniture that you now only find in museums and history rooms, and they were called file cabinets. And in a file cabinet, for those of you that haven't seen one for a number of years, there were folders, and they had little cellophane labels on the top that sometimes if you really very much OCD, you typed your labels out and made them all nice, and others you just wrote them on or whatever else, or sticky notes, and some of you put whatever on it. But they filed, and each one of them had a label. Satan is a labeler. He says there's all sorts of files for people because they are all so different, and I categorize them. God has one folder, one label. He calls us forgiven. But Satan is a labeler. Look at this. I'm back in Revelation again. Pray for me. I heard a loud voice. The reason, you know why they told me to stay out of this? Because if I say the wrong thing and you think I'm taking the wrong twist on what I believe about the end times, what's going to happen when the world ends and what's going to happen and how God's going to, Jesus come back, and is there such a thing called 1,000 years and all this stuff, they said that you'll divide people, so I can't mention any of that. Forget what I just said. So then I heard a loud voice. I love this. I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens. Must be excited about something. It has come at last, he says. Salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. What are we talking about? He says, the accuser, the categor, the labeler of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth. The one who accuses, who labels, who categorizes them before our God day and night. For any of you here that have experienced what it was like to be labeled, to be put in a category, not because of anything, but just because somebody hung the label on you. Anybody here? Sometimes it's because of your gender, sometimes because of your color, sometimes because of your economic status, sometimes because of what kind of clothes you wear, what kind of clothes you do not wear, because of what you've done in your past or what you've not done in your past, the degrees you have or the degrees you do not have. And Satan takes our differences and he labels us to divide us. And you say, now, wait a minute. I don't mean to agree with Satan, Kevin, but I have to say there are differences. I mean, men and women, there are differences, and there are differences between older people and younger people, and there are differences. And that's because the dragon of division, hear this, has distorted a truth that we have failed to see clearly. Check this out. Differences, yes. But our differences do not have to divide us. Do you know who made us different? Not the devil. God did. He created us with differences and uniquenesses and things about us that are special and absolutely specifically unique to us beyond anyone. Every one of us is different. Notice this. Notice this happened this morning with somebody first service. But it's just true. We have differences. We have different preferences. We have different things. Had somebody walk in, and this crowd in South Kokomo here, for those of you online don't know it, was kind of a little bit fuller like it is right now. Walked him over here, was looking for a seat, didn't have enough seats for them. Offered them a seat on this side. And they looked at me sincerely and said, we sit on this side. Their difference was, nothing against any of you over here, but I'm on the right person when I face Friday night. And we have differences. But Satan takes our differences and divides us. And this is why. Check this out. It's what he does. It's who he is. Satan divides. God unites. Every time you think about Satan, I want you to think of this. He got up this morning, picked up his dividing tools. He is looking for any connection he can between people and God to divide it. Any connection he can between people and people to divide it. Every marriage, whether you're a newlywed that just got married yesterday, whether you're celebrating 50 years together, Satan is prowling around your marriage, hoping to divide you. Your kids, whether you have young kids, older kids, adult kids, or what, he's trying to divide between you and your kids. He looks for a church, maybe a church going through COVID, maybe a church without their lead pastor in the midst of COVID. Maybe a church that had some other things happen to where it just seems like every few weeks there's another hit. And he walks into that church and he wants to divide. He looks at a time to where because of COVID and because of lots of reasons that there are folks that are in person and folks that are joining us online. You know what he wants to do between you and these folks? He wants to divide. It's what he does. It's who he is. Don't be surprised our government is divided. That's what Satan does. Don't be surprised that in our schools, instead of parents and kids working together, you say, my goodness, it seems like they're at odds. Well, they're divided because he is a divider by nature, and he sends that dragon to divide us. And unfortunately, sometimes we help him. Let me show you. The dragon of division has a strategy. He uses our unaddressed sin. I'm going to read a verse in just a moment that's going to startle you. It startles me when I read it every time I look at it, and I've got to explain it in context, or you'll walk away and get a wrong impression about it. But it's from Isaiah 59. Here it is. Listen. Remember, Peter said, stay alert. Watch out. This writer says, listen. If you're not listening to anything else, he's been writing for 58 chapters in our way of dividing up the book. And he gets to this line. He says, listen. The Lord's arm is not too weak to save you. He can reach down and deliver you no matter what. You can't get so far from God, but he can't reach you. His ear is not too deaf to hear you. Your slightest whisper in your heart rings loud in God's ear. He said, I promise you that that is true, except it's your sins. It's your sins that cut you off from God. Separate, divine. Because of your sins, he turns away and will not listen anymore. Now hear me, please, hear me online. Hear me in this room. Hear me if you're trying to check things out. Hear me if you've not yet been able to place faith in Christ. I am not saying, Isaiah is not saying, that God will not hear you when you ask him to forgive your sins. He, every time somebody reaches out to him by faith and says, God, I need you to forgive my sins. I repent. I ask you to come into my heart. He says yes every time. But Isaiah is saying that the sins that we harbor, that we conceal, that we cover, that we don't bring to God, that we try to keep as much a secret as we can, unaddressed sin, hands the dragon of division a door in to begin to divide. It's our unaddressed sin. Last week when Luke preached to us about doubt, and some of you went to your small groups, and maybe you had enough courage to speak up and say, I've got doubts about this, or I've had some doubts in this area, or I'm struggling with doubts, and that's a good thing. You know what seldom happens in a small group? Somebody confesses a sin that they're trying to keep secret. You sit there, and you hide it, and you cover it. And notice this point. Unaddressed sin will always lead to division. There are times in ministry, I can think of times where I've worked with people and it seemed like they and God were good, and yet then there was division between them and somebody else. And you dig in and you say, this doesn't make any sense. We ought to be able to bring them together. We ought to be able to have this happen. It can happen sometimes in a marriage, happen sometimes in terms of people that are trying to serve Jesus and do things together. And you say, what's the matter? And then sometimes later you find out that one or both of those people had secret sin that they were harboring, that they were hanging on to. And because of that, division happened despite the best efforts to keep it from happening. I am saying to you, we can sometimes unintentionally give a door into the dragon of division with the sins that we don't confess to God and when appropriate to each other. Now, I really would have liked to have skipped all of that section of the message and gone directly to this one because I want to get to this point. I was so excited to preach this point, and here I am, and I've only got a few minutes left to preach it, but here we go. Catch this. The dragon of division can be defeated, and we have a role to play. The dragon of division Don't be feeling like, well, division is just our destiny. We're just stuck with it. We live in a divided world. It's going to stay divided. We've got division in our communities. We've got division in our schools. We've got division in the healthcare professional industry. We've got divisions in the church. We've got division in the and it's just the way it's going to stay. And you can't beat this dragon. False. Wrong. He's going to be defeated permanently. And I'll show you a verse on that in a minute, but he can be defeated right now. Check this verse out. Here I am back in Revelation. I don't know if I'm going to get talked to. But then, next last chapter, last book in the Bible, John says, then I saw an angel come down from heaven. Talk about being sent with a mission. And he has a key, the key to the bottomless pit. And he has not just a chain, a heavy chain. Must have something he wants to do pretty seriously in his hand. He seizes the dragon. I just love it. Dragon, yes, yes. He seizes the dragon, that old serpent. Remember we looked at that a few chapters ago in chapter 12 of Revelation. Who is the devil, the divider, the splitter, the separator. Satan is his name, remember? And he bound him, not just in chains, in those heavy chains, and the angel throws him into the bottomless pit. This is referring to a day that has not yet come, but will come. This is a day in the future. It will happen as real as this day happened. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a secret desire. I don't know if any of you, when you get to heaven, say, boy, I hope God lets me do this. I don't know, because we'll be there on that day. We will be there at this time. And I'll tell you a desire I have. I hope it doesn't shake you. I would love all of us to be lined up in a row. And the angel is bringing the divider, the dragon of division, the enemy of our souls and of our marriages and of our homes that's done so much damage. He's dragging him in chains, grabs a hold of him, taking him over to throw him off into the bottomless pit. And he drags him in front of each of us, and we get one shot to kick him as he goes. Wouldn't that be cool? That day's coming. That day, the one that's done the damage, the one that's done the division, the one that's done the splitting, the one that's done the separating, the one that's taken things that God intended to be joined together. I talked to somebody right out there here at South Kokomo, right after the first service, the marriages we do, the times we stand in front of couples and say, may God unite you together, and what those who God unites, let not man try to separate. And you know when you say it, that the very next day, the dragon of division is going to be trying to take what God just united and separated. And I've seen it happen, and you have too. There's going to be a day where he's chained up and thrown in a bottomless pit. But hear me, we don't have to wait for that day. God has provided a way for us in the time of a divided world for us to be a united church. He has created through Jesus the basis for unity, the means for it to happen, the reason he has given us unity, and all. He doesn't ask us to create unity, he just asks us to maintain it. Look at these verses. Let them encourage you. For Christ himself, man, I love that line. Some things you send an angel to do. Sometimes the Son of God, no, this is my job. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. An angel didn't give us peace. Jesus gave us peace. We sang about it just a few minutes ago. He united Jews and Gentiles, that was in their day, their labels, their primary labels, into one people when, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility. I love that. The division, the dividing, the separating, broken down all together, all one, all under the label of forgiven. Notice this verse. Galatians. For there is no longer Jew nor Gentile. Again, the labels, gone. Slave, boy, this was big in their day. Some people own people, some people were the owned. He says, that day's over. There's no longer slave or free. No longer male or female. In that day, males were a lot more important than females. He said, that's gone. Those labels are gone. You are all one. We're going to see that word a lot in just a minute. In Christ Jesus. One more set of verses. Ephesians 4 says this. There is one body. I want you to count how many times you hear the word one. There is one body. There is one spirit. Just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. He doesn't stop there. It goes on. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and living through all. In this day, Jesus Christ says, I have provided one Father for you, one Lord to be the one that you follow, one baptism to be the way you declare to the world that you're part of this unity. I have given you the unity of having one faith that you can pray in and believe and use to fight your doubts. I've given you the basis. I've given you the reason for it. I want you to be having it. And he's calling us to that unity. And I promised you, what's our role? Check it out. He didn't do it on purpose or on accident. A divided world desperately needs a united church. A divided world. I just a moment ago had a conversation right out there. I was talking to somebody, and I am telling you, we're not going to be able to unite the political class of Washington, D.C. He didn't call us to that. But he did call us to unite as a church, as a body, as his followers. And in this day where division is rampant, God wants the church to be united. And here's our verse. Make every effort. This is written to everybody in this room. This is written to everybody not in this room joining us in some way. This is written to the folks taking care of our kids and students right now that'll catch this later in some sort of a broadcast. Make every effort, that's what he's saying to us, to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. And if you wonder what that phrase says, make every effort, there are versions, this is the NLT, New Living Translation. One version says, be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit. One says, be diligent in keeping the unity. One says, do your best to maintain the unity. One says, do all you can to maintain the unity. One says, be careful to maintain the unity. And the one I love, it says, strain every nerve, reach for it as far as you can, get it, because that unity needs to maintain. And I'm going to give you one more to add to this list. It's what I want. I believe God wants it as a symbol for us. I went and bought the biggest bottle I could find of Gorilla Glue. Now, in case any of you are going to go and get a bottle and do something with this afterwards, I've read in the fine print here, it says, not for application on hair. Okay, those of you that are laughing maybe know what happened and was video recorded over the last few weeks. But Gorilla Glue, this says it bonds virtually everything. Everything. So here's my phrase. Grab the glue, Crossroads. Intentionally, consciously, consistently, grab the glue. If you're married, when you wake up of a morning, grab the glue and do whatever you can to connect you and your spouse the way God wants you to be connected and connect both of you to God. Grab the glue. You have kids, take the relationship you have between them, the relationship they have with God, and grab the glue. Don't be a part of the division. Don't even touch these things. Grab the glue. You got a workplace you go to. Most of you go and clock in someplace or in some way show up for work. You go to work, grab the glue. Let it be part of what you take to work. Use it to help unite people, not divide people. You're part of this church. Grab the glue. Some of you here, or maybe online, you're one of the elders of Crossroads. Lead us by grabbing the glue any way you can. You're in this room, or you're going to watch this later online, broadcast, and you're part of the paid staff of Crossroads. I say to you, it's not in your job description, but I'm saying it. Grab the glue in any way you can to unite and not to divide. You're one of the difference makers here. You volunteer, you serve, and it's a tough time, and we're asking you to wear masks and wash your hands and separate and be careful and don't hug people and all that kind of stuff, and it gets old, and I get it, but grab the glue. We're going through this time. Listen to me. In a few weeks, God is going to provide for us somebody to consider to become the next lead pastor of Crossroads. But God isn't asking him to unite us. Let's grab the glue before he gets here. Let's unite under one Lord, following him, and then it'll be a lot easier for us then to follow that lead pastor. And I want to end by reading something to us, because I don't want to misstate it, and we're going to close. I want you to hear this. I believe with all my heart. Those of you online, don't hang up yet. I'm running a little bit over time here, but I need you to hear this. This is God's message to you and to everyone in this room, including me on this platform. Our divided world desperately needs a united church. We must defeat the dragon of division. God is saying to each of us, each of us, each of us, no matter who you are, no matter your differences, no matter how long or how brief you've been here, no matter your age or gender or role, no matter your pedigree or experience, no matter how hard it is or how easy it is, every day, in every situation, in every action, with every attitude, in every response, in every interaction, in every post, with every word, in everything you do, and in every way you can do it, grab the glue. And may God help us to do that. Let's pray. God, it's a simple symbol. Glue that the Maker says can bond virtually everything. God, the glue you've given us, the glue of the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit, you can take the word virtually out. It bonds everything. So we're believing that, and we're committing, God, to be agents of unity, to strain every nerve by grabbing the glue and applying it to the unity that you've given, to be agents of unity and not agents of division. So God, even in this moment, help each person to commit to intentionally grab the glue as they go from this place. And we ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.